Hometown Ghost Stories contains serious and often distressing events and is not intended for all audiences. Viewer discretion is advised.
I grew up in West Virginia, a town called Berkeley Springs. It's a very small town that had a population of a little over 800 people back in 1990 when these events took place. I was in the fifth grade and spent most of my summer playing in our front yard. Our house sat by itself, about halfway down a long dirt road. It was heavily wooded on both sides, and our house was built in a clearing on one side. I was an only child, so I'd have to find ways to entertain myself since we had few neighbors and the houses were very far apart. It was actually a rare occurrence to see a car drive down our road, and even less likely that we'd see somebody walking. There was, however, an older man who would ride by on his bicycle. He was such a strange man. He rode one of those old-fashioned bikes that had a horn, and he was dressed in old-fashioned clothes, complete with a hat. He seemed friendly enough. He'd never say anything, but would always smile at me and would sometimes wave a gloved hand. One day, I was at a classmate's house for a birthday party. I wasn't close with this girl, but I think she invited me because we were in the same class, and she invited everyone. This was common practice in Berkeley Springs because there were so few people, and nobody wanted to throw a birthday party with nobody in attendance. So there I was, sitting on the couch, staring at my feet. Most kids at the party were just standing around, not socializing, because they were only invited to fill the room while the birthday girl and her two friends giggled and chatted amongst themselves. I found myself looking at the pictures on the mantle next to me, and one particular photo caught my eye. I stood up and approached the mantle. It was an old photograph of a man riding an old bike. It was a grainy picture, but I was certain that I recognized the man as the man that I saw riding by my house all the time. A voice from behind me broke my concentration. "That's my grandfather." I turned to find my classmate's mother standing behind me. She went on, "He used to ride that silly bike every day all around town, always the same route," she said. I was about to correct her and inform her that I see him riding by my house all the time when she said something that sent an icy chill through my body. "He died when I was your age. I miss him very much." For the rest of the party and the whole ride home, I felt numb. I kept trying to tell myself that it couldn't be him, that it was just a coincidence. But there was no denying that the man in the picture was exactly the same person who I'd see riding by my house so often. Did that mean he was a ghost? My parents always told me that ghosts aren't real, but what else could it be? That night I couldn't sleep. The light of the full moon spilled through my bedroom window, giving the objects in the room an ominous pale glow that cast mischievous shadows on the walls. It was creeping me out more so than I already was, so I got up to shut the curtain. I approached the window and gasped. The man on the bicycle was slowly riding up my street. We made eye contact, and he stopped. I was frozen in fear. Then he did the creepiest thing imaginable. He grinned from ear to ear and rode the bicycle backwards, back down the street and around the bend. I never saw him again. Story sent in by Amanda May from Berkeley Springs, West Virginia. I'm Dave Wilkins, and this is your Hometown Ghost Stories.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome into Hometown Ghost Stories, listener-submitted ghost stories. I'm Jesse Wilkins. I'm joined by Rob Coakley. Hello, Rob.
One of my favorite things that we do here every couple months where we get listeners to submit their stories via Discord, email, whichever way they can get it to us, carrier pigeon. However they can get it to us, they get it to us, and then we tell them, and some of them are creepier than the stuff that we cover on the main episodes.
They are. And the beautiful thing about this is they are stories that, for the most part, haven't been heard by anybody other than the person that sent them in, unless they told a lot of people or have their own podcast and shared it with thousands of people. You never know. But for the most part, most of the listeners that are listening haven't heard these ghost stories. They're fresh, original true stories, and they're terrifying. That's kind of the whole point of the show. We're also joined by Dave Wilkins. Hello, Dave.
Hello. This one was actually sent in via carrier pigeon from West Virginia.
Good.
Pretty sure that's the only mode of communication out there.
Yeah, railway, something, yeah. Something that doesn't exist anymore.
Guy riding backwards on a bicycle delivering letters.
Yeah. That's one of those things that sounds funny, but if you ever saw a ghost riding a bicycle backwards, would be one of the creepier things.
That was the most horrifying ending to that story. It gave me chills. It gave me goosebumps. Real quick, I want to thank everyone who's tuning in to the live broadcast and hanging out in live chat. Big happy birthday to Joe R. So happy birthday. Absolutely one of our favorite people on the planet. And then Swanee gifted 10 hometown ghost stories. Memberships on YouTube, thank you so much for your generosity. It's good to have you guys here. A lot of new faces and a lot of new stories that I'm excited to share with you guys. So absolutely. Yeah, this is our sixth time doing listener submitted ghost stories, and we hope to get more. So if you have a ghost story that you have sent in or a ghost story that you haven't sent in, feel free to send in your story or resend your story if it hasn't gotten on the show yet. We can't do all of them, but we'll eventually try to get to all of them, and that's the plan. So
yeah,
some really good ones tonight. I'm excited for it.
The thing about this opening story too that you covered, Dave, I don't know about the rest of the country or the rest of the planet, but in New England, specifically Massachusetts, growing up here, almost every town had their bicycle guy.
I know.
Right? Like you were like, oh, that's Bicycle Bill from Middleborough, or that's Bicycle Dan from Bridgewater. Like every single town had their own individual bicycle guy. And as this story was being told, I'm like, I bet this is happening in more and more towns, at least around us. I'm interested to see if chat also has bicycle guys.
Usually it's the guy with the most DUIs.
Typically. Plenty of those bicycle guys around, but you know, they're only bicycle guys until they get their license back or whatever. So
right.
That's that is a thing though. I feel like every town has that guy. Like, oh yeah, there goes bicycle guy.
Except yep. Hanover, who had yellow guy.
And red guy.
And red guy. I forgot they had red guy too.
Yeah, same town.
So we have to talk about it. We can't just say that there's yellow and red guy. The basic gist is yellow guy would only purchase yellow items, and his entire like outside of his house, everything was yellow. His house was yellow. His truck was yellow. And then there was red guy who only bought red things. And the local town lore was that red guy and yellow guy did not like each other.
It's possible. Yellow guy used to get in fights with the town because the town would always try and get, because he had a house. His house is on the main road and his entire front yard is just full of yellow junk. It's actually ridiculous, but he refused to clean up his yard and he's just on the main road with his yellow house and all of his yellow junk.
Yeah. It is jam packed. It's not just like a trashed yard. It is full of just insane knickknacks and all sorts of bicycles and just everything he can accumulate, mostly yellow, all in his front yard and for the world to see. It's a prime location, so I can understand why the town's like, can you clean up your house or clean up your yard or give us your property so we can turn it into a business, because it is absolute prime location. But the yellow guy refuses, and he's a lot of fun. I don't know, have you guys ever had a conversation with yellow guy?
I have not talked to yellow guy. Have you?
Yeah, yellow guy occasionally came by. I can't remember the name of the place, but one of the clubs that we used to DJ at in Marshfield, he would just show up and just all of a sudden he's dancing in the middle of the floor. He's like, so for Chad, he's this old guy, big, long beard, clearly out of his mind. And he would just show up and he would just dance and like, oh, it's the other guy. He's here. And he would dance for like 15 minutes and then split. And that was it. The other guy was gone. Never bought
yellow, a drink. Had yellow things to go do.
Yeah. Yeah. So he had to go do more yellow guy collecting stuff. But yeah, this story, let's get back to the story here, was absolutely horrifying. And it wasn't really horrifying until the end, because it was like kind of a nice story, like, oh, okay, so we're starting to get the pieces of the puzzle. And I mean, we knew where it was going to go. It wasn't just an old guy riding the bike. You knew it was probably a ghost, because that's the point of the show. But the way it ended, man, that was creepy as hell.
Yeah, because the whole time you know he's going to end up being the ghost, and it's going to probably be some sort of residual haunting. He rode the same route and around town every single day, and that's what his ghost does in death. You hear these kind of stories all of the time for residual hauntings. But then what makes me think it might not have been a residual haunting is that weird part at the end where the ghost made eye contact and then misbehaved.
It was in it, and it came at a time where the identity was revealed, right? So it was like, it was so strange. I'm getting goosebumps again thinking about it. So the whole time she's witnessing this residual haunting, guy riding by in a bicycle, but then when the truth is revealed, finds out the identity, then it's like, hey, you got me. And he's just like, gave her that weird grin and rode backwards, like, all right, now I'm out. And dude, it's so scary. That's creepy. The more I think about it, the creepier this story gets.
Yeah, because the residual turns, it's actually more of a stalking haunting per se, right? Because you think it's residual, but it's just lurking at all times toward, like, around you until you finally confront it. So, yeah.
Right. The other thing that made me think it might not have been a residual haunting in retrospect was the fact that she said sometimes the ghost would wave to her. But I guess that could just be going through the motions, right?
That's true. Back when people used to wave to people.
Yeah.
Now we all try to avoid eye contact as much as possible.
I know.
It also makes it creepier that it seemed like a residual haunting for however long this went on for. Do we have a time span of how long she was seeing this ghost?
No, she just said it took place in 1990. That's all I know.
Okay. So let's just say it was a matter of weeks or months or whatever. The whole time, that ghost was an intelligent haunt. Sorry if you can hear my dog snoring. The whole time, it was actually an intelligent haunt, and she just woke herself up. She knows we're talking about her now. Her glasses, she just did a front flip off the chair. Hope she's okay. Sorry about that. Anyways, the whole time, it's an intelligent haunt, and that ghost probably knows that she's there. And then how did the ghost know that she found out the identity? Because that has to be the case, right? Or at least that's what it seems like.
It makes
the whole story even scarier, because it's like, this thing knows you're there. This thing wants to be seen. Terrifying.
Yeah, it's a creepy one.
Absolutely. What a way to kick off this batch of listener episodes, though.
I feel like it's going to be a good one.
Yeah, so I feel like we got some good ones. I think we might even have, at least I know, that we have at least one cryptid in this batch as well. So we're going to be delving a little. We're going to stick mostly to ghost stories, but we're going to dabble in some other stuff in these stories as well.
Can we jump into that right now? Now you've piqued my interest.
Do you want to jump into that?
Let's do it.
Let's jump into Serena's story then.
Throughout most of my life, growing up in South Jersey, in the thick of the Pine Barrens, I have heard countless stories, tales, and sightings of the infamous Jersey Devil. Many of my friends and family pre-internet era have often described hearing a distinct, horrific, blood-curdling scream coming from the woods. A day or two after hearing the scream, multiple dead deer would be found mangled around the neck area. The scream may have came from the deer, or perhaps something else. The year was 1996. I was 11, going on 12 years old, and I would often cut through the woods from my house to visit my friend in the nearby neighborhood on my 15-speed Huffy strobe bike. Sometimes I would bring along my dog, Ben. Ben would refuse to enter a specific section of the woods, whether it was day or night. Any attempt to try to coax him in would be met by a discomforting whimper, so we would always go the long way. One night, during twilight, I was riding back home from my friend's house, and what I experienced happened so fast, it made me tip my bike over. I landed in thrush and had cuts and scrapes all over. However, that's not what I was concerned about. I lay on the ground, frozen in fear from what I saw in front of me. In what felt like a millisecond, I heard the scream. About 75 feet in front of me, I saw a large, dark, shadowy goat-like creature that stood approximately 12 to 15 feet tall with medium to small-sized bat wings. The creature appeared to be bucking its hooves in anguish and disgust. I had never seen anything like it. I managed to slowly get up as my knees continued to buckle and quietly bring my bike to an upright position. The figure, thankfully, did not seem to notice me. The demon-like creature then stood in an upward goat-like gait and began to fly off in the opposite direction. For some strange reason, as I stood in fear, I began to think about how I'd be grounded for the summer if I wasn't home by 9 p.m. I straddled my bike and began pedaling harder than I ever had before, fearing that that thing could be behind me. It didn't follow me, though, and trying to catch my breath, I walked into my house at 9:05. I was grounded for the rest of the summer. After seeing the creature, though, I didn't mind staying in the house for a while. Story submitted by Serena M., Franklinville, New Jersey.
Another scary one.
That's terrifying. What the hell was it?
Well, it was supposedly the Jersey Devil. The Jersey Devil's... I did a little research on the Jersey Devil. I'm sure in the future we're going to do a whole Jersey Devil episode. But just the characteristics of the Jersey Devil, where it's got like this horse head, hooves, bat wings. It's absolute. It's like the weirdest but yet most terrifying cryptid description that I've ever heard. Because like at first, it's kind of funny. It's like it's got a horse head and it's eating deer. LOL. And then you start looking up like drawings of what that would actually look like. And you're like, no, thanks. What I found the most relatable about this story, because I personally don't have any interactions with any cryptids or anything in my life, but what I found relatable about this story as I was reading it is when you're 10 or 11 years old and you come across anything terrifying like this, right? And it, you dump your bike, you're laying there, you know you got to get home. As scared as you are, you're still thinking, shit, I got to get home because I'm going to get grounded, right? Like it's it's just like as that age, it just goes through your head that even though I'm dealing with this terrifying situation that people don't deal with, I have to get home because I'm going to be grounded if I do not.
And the other thing is, you know... that your parents aren't going to believe that story. That's what sucks, right? Yeah. So it's like, I almost need to come up with a different excuse.
Yeah.
I broke into a house. Sorry. Yeah. I had to hide from the owners. They came home.
I tried drugs for the first time. I don't know.
Sorry. I was just beating up all the local kids. You know, I was bullying. I was doing some bullying before, you know, that's tough. That's tough.
Yeah. It's so I just found that overly relatable because I can think of instances, not with a cryptid, but where like getting home on time just shouldn't have been the first thing I thought about, but it almost gives you something to focus on too. When you're in a very scary situation, I've noticed this when we've done investigations. Sometimes while we're doing something and I'm scared, although I'm in the moment, I just start thinking about something random, right? And like, I just fixate on it almost. And I wonder if that's some sort of chemical or reaction in your brain to try to get you just focused on anything else to try to pull you away from that feeling that you're having.
The sighting is so crazy too. Like it's, I got to dive into the Jersey Devil. I haven't looked into it at all. I've obviously heard of it. So here he's really good at hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, depends on the year.
That's what they say.
But yeah, we're going to dive into it. That was Serena, right? That sent in that one?
Yeah, Serena sent that one in. I mean, any creature that's going to stand 12 to 15 feet tall is a big no thanks from me. Mm-hmm. Just, you know. Give me something that I feel like I have a chance against. You know, like I don't have a chance against something that's 12 to 15 feet tall.
No, I don't think any of us do.
Yeah. I mean, who wants to fight Wembanyama from the Spurs?
Not me. Yeah, that's a crazy story. Thanks so much.
The Jersey Devil, that was the one where the lore goes, I think, that it was in there's a castle or something, and then the lady gave birth. And the baby was like all scaly and had wings, and she threw it out the window and it flapped away.
Yeah, you're really good at pissing off people in New Jersey.
I was going to say, like, get it right, Dave, because the people of Jersey get really mad if we get one single detail wrong. Yeah. But also,
the only reason I know that is because somebody corrected my New Jersey episode and said, you didn't even talk about this and said that. And I was talking about something that didn't involve the New Jersey Devil at all.
Yeah, well, it's important that we also mention that if your baby does scare you, you should not throw it out the window.
I mean, maybe
probably will not fly away.
On wings.
Yeah, I mean, to each their own. It's New Jersey. New Jersey already sucks, so you know, you might as well start throwing babies too.
Yeah, it's a good thing you warned Dave not to piss off the people in New Jersey. <I know. laughs> Good job.
Yeah. All right. Well, now that we've done our cryptid, do we want to jump into one of your stories, Jesse?
Yeah, this one's about the Mighty Ducks. Very scary. No, we're gonna hop into one right now. This one was sent in by Lacey, so let's hop into it.
2009. I was at home one summer evening when I got a call from my friend Grady asking if I could pick him up from the bar and take him home. Always one to encourage safe drinking with my friends, I agreed to pick him up. On the ride to his place, he said he didn't want to go home and asked if I wanted to go to Greenwood Cemetery to check out 1,000 Steps. You never have to ask me twice, so off we went. Knowing that cops patrol the steps, looking for kids drinking, we decided to sneak in the dumbest way imaginable. On the side of the cemetery, just off the property, is a hill with a steep 45-degree angle of fairly loose dirt, and I was wearing stilettos, as one does in their 20s. I park as far to the side as I can under a train bridge, and we begin our ascent. We struggle to keep our footing, but finally made it to the top and step onto the walking path that leads to the cemetery. We weren't even 10 steps down the path towards Greenwood when Grady and I stop in our tracks and say in unison, "Did you see that?" About 50 feet ahead of us was a full apparition shadow man. There were no features, only black. Both Grady and I described him at the same time, so we were both seeing the same thing. As we stare at it, all three unmoving, the shadow man slowly lifts his arm to point at us and cocks his head to the side. In a flash, he has covered half the distance between us. That is when Grady decides to run back towards the car. I watch the shadow man as he seems to teleport again, now just feet away from me, but watching Grady run. The shadow man bolts again, and this time, he is between two trees precisely in the path where Grady is running, and I shout, "He's right in front of you!" But I watch Grady crash through this ghost. That's when I take off running down the hill, cemetery dirt filling my shoes. We both get back to the car and take off, never seeing it again. We never made it to the steps that night. Listener submitted ghost story from Lacey.
So this is the story you left out of your episode last week, Ross?
That's how considerate I am.
You're an idiot.
So that we could highlight it on the listener submitted story. We actually do have some pictures that I'll pull up from this night that she sent us that didn't make it into the video. But yeah, it's a terrifying story. This is my dream. This is my dream where we go on an investigation and we see multiple people see the same apparition and can describe it in unison, right? We almost had it, Jesse and I, at Emily's Bridge. We were we saw a shadowy figure that looked like a person that just quickly changed. But to be able to describe the features is what I would like to have happen.
I love that moment is captured in an image, and it's the image that kicks off the beginning of all of our stream starting soon things on YouTube. It's always that very first picture of the three of us standing at the bridge, and you two are looking off one way and I'm looking at the camera, ruining the moment.
Yeah, you're doing what you're supposed to do, and we're over there just literally pissing our pants because we're so scared.
Yeah, that's a classic moment. So now, after watching that video, I realize why they don't know exactly how many steps are in the 1,000 steps of the 1,000 Steps Cemetery. That is a disaster.
Yeah, there's no way to count those steps. Like we said last week, like this whole thing is basically in ruins. And I am glad we got to touch on it, because getting a ghost story from our listeners is obviously amazing. And it's even better, in my opinion, when you can get it from a location that we've been able to cover and or visited. So it's cool to get stories, because you can find most of these stories online, you know, when you find the ghost stories that we'll cover, especially on like the major episodes. But when we have listeners with their own personal experience, wow, that's a face. So for audio listeners, Rob has pulled up a picture that Lacey sent in that she took from this location. And if you look in the kind of top right area of this picture, and we'll share it on social media. It looks like a baby's face, doesn't it?
That's yeah, you can actually see this in our Discord. If you go to the your ghost story section, she even outlined it. There's like a side-by-side picture where she outlined the picture. So I would highly suggest going to see it yourself on our Discord. But that's a quick little image of it right here.
That's scary. Yep.
What is on the left side? I can't really see that.
It's a side profile of a guy. If you kind of look in here, it's tough to see. But she also said that he has a ghost gut, so that's great.
That'll be my ghost. That'll
but yeah. Ghost. Yeah, but go check out our Discord. Go to the Your Ghost Stories and look for her upload with the pictures there, because it's very cool to have the evidence with it as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And thank you so much for sharing that, as well as she also grabbed that cemetery footage for us, didn't she?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Gold star.
That always helps. So, dude, okay. Let's address the actual story here, though. The way this thing is moving, like, not only are you seeing the same shadow figure, but the way this thing is moving is absolutely alarming. It seems like it's like teleporting, but it's moving up the path.
Mm.
That would scare me. That would be a scary thing to witness. That would be something that would make me quite uncomfortable. And I got a little bit nervous when I was reading the story, and it said that it passed through her friend Grady.
Yeah.
And that made me worry. I'm like, what if, I wonder if Grady had any negative effects after that from something passing through him like that. Mm. And it's theorized that when you're in a haunted location, you feel a cold breeze or you sense a cold spot, that could be a spirit just strolling right through your body. Pretty horrifying thing to think about. And I do wonder if there was any kind of thing there, but my first reaction is, oh my gosh, he probably got possessed by a devil, possessed by a demon after that. That's how that happens, but we don't know.
Yeah. I wonder what that would feel like if there was a spirit that actually passed through you.
Because God, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but no. It makes me wonder, nobody's seen this footage yet, but what the hell did we experience at the Hinsdale house, Jesse, myself and you, when we had that cold spot rush through us? So, you know, a little bit of a teaser there, but yeah, that was a feeling of pure night. Like, I was scared to death at that particular point. So it's very scary.
It was. Yeah. So be on the lookout for that. We are putting together a full investigation video of that location, which will be separate from the actual episode. So we'll do the actual episode where we discuss the history and hauntings and a little bit of what we experienced there. And then a whole side content episode, which will be an entire full length investigation. Usually you get like a few minutes here or there, depending on how much evidence we've collected at a location. But this one, there is so much at this place that we were able to do a full episode. So kind of excited to drop that for you guys. A little teaser for you. Those are the plans. Want to give a big shout out to Matt DiRico. He's actually our cousin. Dropped a little 1 month sub on YouTube. And absolute legend. Had the honor of seeing him box. He's a boxer. So I went to a fight that he had. Watched him win. That's always good. And hope to do that again soon. So big shout out to Matt. All right. Which story are we hopping into next, gentlemen?
Well, before we do that, he did ask, is that something that would give somebody some sort of residual effect?
Oh, yeah.
If a spirit
didn't address it.
If a spirit passes through. I don't know if we have any definitive or hard evidence, but there are anecdotal instances of people reporting what they have felt during a situation like that. And people will report they either feel, like Rob said, coldness. Like, it could be because if a spirit's drawing energy, it could draw the heat out of the air. That's why you'd have a cold spot. You could feel that. I've also heard of people feeling emotions that they can't explain. And the theory behind that is if somebody dies in one way or another, when the energy does leave their body, there could be an emotion tied to that energy, which why if you walk through a haunted location and you feel like an inexplicable sadness or inexplicable fear that you can't explain, that might be that emotion that was attached to that energy that left the person's body when they died.
Yeah. We actually had a few people in chat that says that they've experienced it. So Swanee said that the one time I felt a spirit pass through me, looked like it too. I got cold and then I suddenly had an intense feeling of sadness, like tears in his eyes automatically. Then Joe said, my big brother drove through a misting ghost and it made him feel sick, like he was going to throw up. So I'm sure there's varying instances of how these things might make you react, either by whether it's a positive spirit, whether it's a negative spirit, depending on how powerful it is. God forbid it's something demonic. You know, it's like, I'm sure there are different ways that it could affect you in the moment. You see this all the time in paranormal investigations where people will all of a sudden have a feeling of dread or a feeling of panic. And maybe that is coming from something just crossing by your path, or maybe it's something else, but it could be anything. But it's certainly scary to think about, for sure.
Absolutely.
Shall we hop into the next story, gentlemen?
Let's do it.
Okay. Where are we going here? Let's jump into Ulysses' story. I'm excited for a Guitar Ghost story. Let's hop into a little bit of that, huh?
Let's do it.
In storytelling, empathy matters most. If you put in too many details, people lose interest. In this story, details matter. I teach guitar at a musical instrument and lessons outside of Atlanta, Georgia. I've taught so many lessons since 2004 that I've lost count. My coworkers and I used to joke how the place was haunted because of so many strange occurrences happening. There was a large sales floor in the front of the store where most people were. There is a cramped back room that has hundreds of instruments, and the lesson studios are on the side through a short hallway. One Tuesday night, the teachers and students had left for the day, leaving two workers to clean and close the store by themselves. The part-timer was dusting the entrance while the manager closed the register in the center of the store. A guitar pick was thrown from the lesson studio hallway, striking the manager. She turned around to see nobody there. She asked the part-timer, "How did you throw that pick?" He responded with, "What pick?" It's not like they can just leave the store, so they just kept working, distracted by the mysterious event. Years later, a different worker was opening the store by themselves. All the lights in the store are turned off at the end of the day. When the opener comes, they verify that the lights have been turned off in the back room, bathrooms, and lesson rooms, then go through the opening procedures. On this particular day, there had to be a deposit at the bank. The worker checked the lights, went through the opening procedure, got the deposit, and went into the bank. Big deal, right? When the worker came back, the lesson room farthest from the hallway had its lights flashing on and off. Not a great way to start off a Tuesday at work. One day in October, I'm teaching a lesson in the exact same room as the flashing lights. My student comes in, all of 9 years old, with her Hannah Montana electric Telecaster guitar. Anyone could see the glitter on that guitar from space. I plugged her guitar into a 10-inch Fender amp, and we start the lesson. I'm playing my Ibanez guitar with humbucker pickups through a 12-inch Marshall. We get halfway through the lesson, and as clear as day, we hear, "Can you see me?" coming through the Marshall amp. I'm a huge fan of ghosts, but know that I have to keep my composure because I have to get through this lesson. The student, however, had the color drained from her skin as her face dropped to the floor. I continued the lesson like I heard nothing, but she urgently says to me, "Did you hear that?" "Did I hear what?" "Something asked if we can see it." "Well, can you see it?" "No, we can't see you. Go away." I continue the lesson, but the student is obviously worried about our new poltergeist student who is attending the lesson. About 30 seconds later, back through the Marshall, we hear, "Hello?" The student is now grabbing onto her seat in fear. I, however, am throwing a massive party in my mind. But I can't show my excitement for the specter to a terrified 9-year-old girl who is just trying to play her favorite Hannah Montana song. I calm her down. "Look, it's probably radio interference from someone's cell phone outside." She started to calm down. After the lesson, I explained to her grandparents what happened in the lesson, and it was just a fun coincidence at Halloween. Details matter, remember? I used to play at a church that was next to a heavily used road. Our sound system would pick up the cell phones and police chatter all the time. The voices that are picked up through the interference have what some people would hear as static, like a walkie-talkie. Our new ghostly student's voice didn't have any static, as it was as clear as a guitar signal coming through an amp. What's even more interesting is what amp it came from. The voice came from the Marshall, the amp I was connected to, which means whatever was speaking had to be uncomfortably close to me since the guitar pickups are only a couple inches from my body. Details matter. Story sent in by Ulysses in Atlanta, Georgia.
We have had some of the creepiest stories of all the listener-submitted ghost stories that we've ever done. And that's not to discount any of the other ones, but a lot of times we mix in like some nice, a visit from grandma. These ones, every single one of them, I'm like, oh my God, what is going on?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely terrifying. That one had a good mixture. It's a very scary story. And also guitar heads are going to get really erect in the middle with some of that explanation of the guitar stuff going on.
I was stressed. I'm like, I don't know if I'm pronouncing any of these things like Ibanez, I guess. Is that right? I don't know. I wish I wasn't the only member of my family that doesn't play some sort of musical instrument.
So that story gave me goosebumps and it made me think back. So I taught piano for a number of years, many years, actually. And I do remember I was teaching a lesson and it was three back-to-back lessons in a house. So I would go to the houses. I didn't teach at a music shop or anything like that. I would go and do private lessons inside your home. And I'm teaching, I remember it was the youngest of the kids. And the other two siblings were in the living room. And I'm at the piano and it's all downstairs. And the parents were not home. They had stepped out. They're like, they did this all the time. It was fine. So they had stepped out. There's nobody else in the kids are on the same level as us. And we hear footsteps above us. And I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. Like I figure somebody's just upstairs. And the kid keeps asking, he's like, why are we hearing someone upstairs? And I'm like, I don't know who's up there. He's like, nobody's up there. And so we check and we see like, where are the siblings? And they're still in the living room, both of them on their iPads. And then we hear it again, more footsteps. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, this is awesome. But I had to keep that same demeanor. And this is what reminded me of this story when Ulysses told it, where I had to be like, I am teacher. I'm the only adult in the house. I have to pretend nothing is happening. And I'm sitting here. I'm like, meanwhile, I'm super into the stuff. Obviously it was before we started this show, but I'm like, dude, oh, can I record this? But I don't want to freak out the kid. Cause I'm the only freaking adult in the house. And the kid kept bringing it up too. He's like, I think we have something going on upstairs. And then I start to worry. I'm like, is someone breaking into this house? Like, are we being robbed or is it a ghost? I feel like I didn't really know what to do. So I just kept going on with the lesson, didn't address it any further and never heard from the parents or we never really discussed it again. I wish I did follow up. I kind of completely forgot to address it with the parents, which sucks, but creepy, creepy, creepy. But that reminds me a ton of that. And wow, coming through the amplifier in that story.
Yeah, I like the details matter angle of the story and how he tied it together at the end. Because he was just telling the girl like, oh, it's probably just radio interference from a cell phone. Just, you know, don't worry about it. But then at the end was like, by the way, that couldn't have been possible because one, there would have been static, whereas this voice was crystal clear. And number two, like the proximity that that ghost would have had to have been was like right next to me based on how the equipment works. I was like, wow.
It's one thing that we don't hear more of, and I wonder how much it's actually happening. Like whether you're just not picking it up, if it's not as clear as like this particular situation was, or because you're just so surrounded by music, you're just in musical instruments and equipment that you just assume. Mm-hmm. And I think we miss a lot of hauntings because of assumption. And I think even people that are really into it do the same thing. Because I think the mind is always trying to figure out what something is or what it could be. And sometimes we tie to that. We go back to episode one. There's stuff that we've talked about this before. I left out of the episode because I was still trying to process why that was happening, right? And then we hear from the new owners and they're experiencing it and they shouldn't be. So I think our brain just goes to, all right, this is a speaker, this is an amp, there's musical equipment around here. The voice I'm hearing is coming from one of these other devices around me.
Right. Ulysses in chat right now says, we didn't see it, but weird stuff happens all the time. We joke it's the ghost of a frog. I wonder what led you to surmise that it's the ghost of a frog?
God, what if I come back haunting in my frog onesie?
Let's hope so.
But you also can't dismiss the eeriness of the message, which was, can you see me?
Mm, right.
And that's terrifying to think about. And yeah.
That leads me to believe frog right there.
I don't want to leap to conclusions, but
oh no.
I do apologize for that. But no, the message though, and maybe this is how it used the equipment to communicate. Maybe it finally found something. It's like, oh, I can talk through this or whatever, but it wants to be seen, wants to get some sort of a message across. Very, very scary story. And can't blame the kid for being terrified. Like, dude, I just heard a ghost talk through this amplifier and you're not even going to address it. I don't want to learn Hannah Montana right now. I don't want to talk about what the fuck just happened here.
Jeez. Yeah, there are certain phrases that if a ghostly voice says it, it's just automatically chilling. And can you see me ranks pretty high on that list of terrifying, you know, short sentences that they could say that I'd be like, I don't want to. I would like to leave now.
Yeah, I was going to say, especially terrifying if you can't, in fact, see the person saying it.
Yeah, hard pass. Yeah, hard pass on that.
Well, I believe Michelle, who is a Patreon member, has sent in a story. Shall we hop into hers?
Let's do it.
Michelle.
All right.
I live next to a historic property named the Highlands Ranch Mansion in Highlands Ranch, Colorado. It's a historic home that was built in the 1800s. It's now an event center and open to tour a few days a week. 19 years ago, I took my then one-year-old daughter there for an open house and a tour of the historic building. While we were in the hallway on the second floor, my daughter walked into the adjacent bedroom, which was empty and only had one entrance, and started talking and pointing at the ceiling. I stepped into the bedroom to bring her back out into the hallway, and she was looking up at the ceiling while laughing and speaking jibber-jabber like one-year-olds do. Although she didn't have much of a vocabulary at the time, it did appear that she was actively speaking to someone, giggling, and kept pointing. The tour guide came in and watched the interaction and told the group that this room belonged to the owner's 7-year-old daughter back in the late 1800s. We all watched the interaction for several minutes. Then I picked her up and removed her from the room so that the tour could continue. The guide would later tell me that she was so confident that she was communicating with a spirit that she recorded this in their historical records. Recently, I received a call from a woman who is in the process of writing a book about the hauntings at the property, and she wanted to interview myself and my daughter. My daughter has zero recollection of the event and only knows about it because we brought it up so many times over the years. The strange thing is, this daughter has also had encounters with a man that she would consistently see for years. She would be outside playing with friends, riding in a car, or in her bedroom, and she would see this older gentleman in a suit and hat. She said she wasn't scared of him, but when she pointed him out to whoever she was with, they never saw him. After a number of years, she became uncomfortable with it and asked us for help. We had a medium come to the house and sage it, as well as communicate with the man. The medium asked him to move on, and she's never seen another spirit again. Story submitted by Michelle, Highlands Ranch, Colorado.
It was Jack the Ripper.
But we did it. We found a story where the medium actually didn't make things worse.
I know, right?
Finally, they did something. I'm so happy for Michelle that they didn't call this medium and all chaos just broke loose afterwards. Thank God. things got better for her daughter and we don't have like this insane story that's continuing to this day.
Yeah, the medium didn't be like, well, let's break out a Ouija board and do a human sacrifice. So sometimes you get a medium that actually knows what they're doing. But thank you, Michelle, for that story. Also, that place looks awesome.
Yeah, I want to, I don't know if there's like a history of it. Maybe it's something that we can cover in full in the in a future episode. It's something definitely worth diving into. It looked like a very, very cool place to go walk around. Very jealous Michelle gets to go, you know, walk those halls whenever she wants to, really.
Yeah, and we say this on the show all the time, obviously, that we think kids and pets can see stuff that adults can't, yeah. Or they're at least more sensitive to it. We got a few people in chat who are talking about how when they were kids, they would have conversations or see things. Dave's had an experience like that. Draco says, I had my five-year-old niece say that there was a person in my attic. That is terrifying.
Oh, my God.
I don't like that.
Never sleep again.
Yeah. Plushy says that as a kid, my mom thought I was possessed because I would say things that a child shouldn't know about. That is, you know, it's where are they getting that information, right? It's crazy. It's crazy. And you do wonder, are they communicating with something that I can't see inside of this house? Scary stuff. Again, that's a cool location. Now I kind of want to cover it. And I love when a lot of times you get polar opposites where locations like this will either accept, embrace, and share ghost stories that happen there, or they want nothing to do with it.
Right.
And I like that this is a place that embraces and accepts it because it looks like it's a really, really nice place. And a lot of times with the ones that are a little bit more upscale and you know, renovated and they're clearly keeping up with the place. Looks like they host events at that place too, judging from the footage that we just aired. I saw a bunch of chairs stacked. A lot of times when they're serious about their business and everything like that, they try to stay away from the paranormal. And when a building is in disrepair, a lot of times with many of these buildings, the only money that's coming in is from paranormal groups, which is great because these buildings need to survive, right? They need to not get torn down by the town. So any way that they can make money, whether it's through tours or hosting paranormal groups, ghost investigations, renting the place out, because let's be honest with a lot of these locations, with the state that they're in, paranormal groups are the only people that want to go in there. Like you're not getting people to rent a hotel room if your building is run down. But for me, I'm like, hey, the more run down, the better. Take my money and let me in. Right. So,
yeah. Michelle actually says in chat that they host ghost tours and that we should come and check it out. Maybe Colorado is the place that I would like to go and investigate.
I wonder how close it is to the Stanley Hotel.
We have talked about that.
If it's close, I mean, it's a pretty big state. So, and they might not be close, but that'd be cool. That's to true. Do two in one.
Scooby says in chat, one of my kiddos would wave when we drove by a specific cemetery. This only went on until they were a year and a half, and then it stopped.
Oh, that's so weird.
That is, again, gave me the goosebumps. The goose flesh. I've had the goose flesh almost this whole night. This is some chilling stories.
So yesterday, I'm sitting right here working on what I think one of these stories, actually, and Juliet, my daughter, came in through that door right over there, and she's like, she runs into the room and looks around, and I'm like, what? She goes, who was just standing in the doorway? I'm like, what do you mean who was just standing in the doorway? Nobody was. She goes, I saw a black shoe in the doorway, and it slid back into the room, and then she chased it into the room to see what it was, and there was nothing there. I'm like, I don't know. Go away.
Your daughter has the way of whatever she says, it could come off as completely creepy too. Like, I know. She's very matter of fact. Like she, yeah.
Yep. You know what's funny? We have all this investigation equipment, and I'm like, I don't want to use it where I live. Like,
I know.
I have it sitting here right now, and I'm just like, should I try this stuff? I'm like, no, because I will never sleep again. So good luck.
You've already been through most of your life. You don't want to do it again.
I know. I'm like, finally, I can sleep for more than an hour and a half. Like, you know.
Ulysses brings up, so obviously watches the show a lot. It says, dude, the door that's always closing on its own in the background. Yes. But I will debunk that because I'm no fun. That door doesn't actually latch, and my cats will just push it open and walk in when they want to. So that's why the door randomly just opens behind me during a podcast.
Yep. So Julian says in chat, told a friend of mine that her house is haunted or the cat is nuts. She shared a clip of the cat a while ago, and the cat was staring wildly into the air and touching nothing with her paws. It was spooky. Again, that's the other theory, is that animals can also see things that we can't see. And this was very apparent in Rob's old house. I don't know if we've ever mentioned Rob's old house on the show, but haunted place. Rob used to live there, and the dogs, when you'd bring the dogs in, they would refuse to go onto the second floor. They'd be barking up the stairs. It's just things that animals do that, you know, it makes you think that they could see something that we can't. The same with kids.
And, you know, my 2-year-old brother is the whole reason that I got into all this, right? Like that's the one image that will stick out for the rest of my mind, with him just in the corner of the second floor, just going, "The man, mummy, the man, the man, mummy, the man." And it just, like, I will replay that until the day I die. Like, it was that creepy.
Mm-hmm. And we will continue to tell that story until the day we all die.
That's true. We have to.
We have to. We must. We must.
Yes.
But we got one more. And this one was sent in by Tori. And it was sent in recently. So I'm kind of thumbing through the ghost stories in Discord, trying to pick out which ones I wanted to do. And this one came in, I think, like yesterday. I was like, oh, I'm going to use this immediately. So
yeah. So if you're ever like, oh, there's a listener ghost story coming, episode coming up, but it's too late. I wish that I would have submitted mine earlier. It's never too late, because Jesse will wait to the absolute last minute to record his. So
that's right. That's right. Last week on the show, I realized that I had mispronounced the town name. I think it was 4 minutes before we started the show. Went back, re-recorded it, edited it, added into the video, exported it just in time for the show. And Rob's like, "You're a psychopath. Like, you're not going to get this in time." Boom, we did it. Yeah, it doesn't get much more last minute than how I do everything. So do send in your stories. And I do want to reemphasize this. I mentioned it earlier, but if you sent in a story a while ago, send it again.
If we haven't covered it.
If we haven't covered it. Yeah. If we've already covered it. Yeah. Don't talk. Yeah, please stop. Unless there's another one.
We won't know. We just read the teleprompter. We're Ron Burgundy.
Unless there is an update to your story.
Yes.
Then true. We definitely want to hear what has happened since. Absolutely. So, without further ado, let's hop into our final listener submitted ghost story of the night.
One night, I had a strange feeling, so I decided to go for a drive. This is something I often do. It was about 8 p.m. The back roads around me have no lights, so it's always really dark, besides the moonlight. This night was no different. Clear night sky. Would have been beautiful had I not experienced something that had been worse than any other sighting I had experienced prior to this. Driving down the road, I was coming to a stop sign just a little too fast. Before I knew it, a dark shadow that looked like a person was in front of me. I couldn't stop fast enough, and I hit it. I heard and saw the body roll over the hood of my car. I saw the glass break and heard it. Instantly, I panicked. I just hit a person. Pulling over quickly, I jumped out of my car and used the flashlight on my phone to look around the area. I saw nothing. I headed back to my car, and when I got in, I realized that my windshield wasn't even cracked. There was no damage to the vehicle whatsoever. I knew I hit something. I saw the window break. I heard the glass cracking. I looked around my car and there were no dents or any evidence that I had hit anything. After a few moments, I grabbed the bigger flashlight out of my car and spent the next 30 minutes looking for any sign that I had hit someone. Nothing. No person. No dents. Nothing. I called my parents and other trusted friends, and nobody could explain anything. To this day, I still don't know what happened, and nothing else like this has occurred since. Listener submitted ghost story from Tori.
You might be Jack the Ripper.
I'm just excited that we get to go to court in the future, because Tori, you killed somebody.
I don't think so.
And no.
Good job not just taking off, be like, "Well, no damage, didn't hit anyone, goodbye."
Right.
Like, it sounds like she did her due diligence,
right?
Went out with a flashlight, looked all around, looked everywhere. And there's so many eerie elements to the story. For one, you got to start with, you saw a dark shadowy figure and then hit it and heard the impact, heard the windshield cracking, heard it topple over the top of the car. And then you get out and you realize that there's no damage to the car. There's no damage to the windshield when you heard it cracking.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
This reminds me.
Go ahead.
Yeah. This reminds me of that ghost story in North Carolina with the train, the train crash that would repeat itself, and the train would basically derail and it would hit trees and then it would crash into a ditch and people could claim that they hear people screaming and whatnot, but then everything's gone and back to normal.
Yeah. The only like logical thing that I could think of that may have happened, which still doesn't explain the lack of damage or the lack of a cracked windshield or anything, is maybe it was some sort of an animal and you hit it, it rolled over the car and then took off like into the woods. Like it was fine or fine enough to run away. That's why you never found a body or anything. Don't think it was a person, but it still doesn't explain the lack of any sort of damage whatsoever to the vehicle.
Yeah. I mean, I can see that thought process, but when you do hit an animal substantially that makes that sound and stuff, you see it. You do see it. It's not a shadowy figure. It's an unfortunate situation, but you absolutely know what that is. She did not know what this also was.
For it to roll over the top of the car.
Right.
It would have had to been something very tall, like a deer. I've never even seen a deer roll over the top of the car, but anything is possible. I mean, a moose. You know, like
a moose would destroy your car, though.
Exactly. That's the kicker. Is if it's big enough or tall enough to roll over the top of your car, there is going to be damage to your vehicle. So the only thing I could think of, and to go back to the train thing that you just mentioned, is it could be something paranormal. I mean, you have to think it probably is something paranormal if there's no evidence of an accident happening. It had to have been something residual, maybe of the ghost of somebody that got killed on that road in that spot.
Mm-hmm.
It was right at an intersection. She was trying to stop at a stop sign. So that's where these things would happen. It could be anywhere on the road, really, but that's insane. Yep. Okay. There we go. It's debunked. Captain McSlugs drops the truth in chat that it was probably three turkeys in a trench coat who then flew away. Turkeys don't really fly too much, but you know, they flew enough.
They can fly into a tree.
If this is a residual haunting,
did you check the trees for turkeys?
If this is some sort of residual haunting that occurs, it is one of the more terrifying types of residual hauntings, because it's almost like the circumstances have to unlock perfectly, where you have to be the car going somewhere at a specific time, I would assume, or around a certain time for it to happen. So you probably would never be able to reenact it unless she took down the time. And then you would just have to keep trying it over and over again. And is that a haunting you want to keep trying to rerun over and over again?
No, it's a terrifying experience. Like, you literally thought you killed someone. That sucks. It's good that you didn't. Probably didn't. But it's good that you didn't. Allegedly. And it's also good that you did your due diligence.
Yeah, no, it is good that she got out, looked around, made phone calls. It is very disturbing.
Mm.
It might be hard to drive after that too. Like it might cause some reluctance.
PTSD type situations there. Chicago debunks it, says, I live in the sticks now. Deer can and will go over the hood of a car.
But not without damage.
Right. That's the thing, is it's still absolutely going to mess up your car.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. So I think we had all terrifying stories tonight.
Yeah. No happy ones.
There was no happy stories. So, I mean, they were all great. You guys, well, I guess Michelle's is a little happy where the medium actually got rid of the man. So
yeah, but it wasn't a positive haunting though.
True.
If she didn't get rid of that man, we could have finally caught Jack the Ripper. So I don't know if that's a happy ending. Steph brings up a good question, but the last one is, does it matter what kind of car it is? Absolutely. Well, she was driving her Lamborghini, which is really low to the ground. So that's why something could topple over the top of it.
Yeah.
Was she really driving a Lamborghini? Did I miss that?
No, it was a Nissan Vera.
Oh.
thanks for ruining all the fun. Everyone was impressed.
We were trying to hype you up. We were selling you to the public.
Yeah. Yep. Julian says, I wouldn't drive afterwards. I'd be too afraid something would show up in the back seat when checking the mirror. Yep.
Right.
When he picked it up. Like, I know what you did last summer stuff.
I didn't even think of that.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
this
absolutely.
This is the worst now. I'm so sorry.
Sleep tight, everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a dark one.
The rest of your night, like the rest of your life, Tori. That I would have to check that. Now I have to check my own backseat, and I didn't even hit anybody.
Neither did she.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you to everybody who sent in their ghost stories tonight. Again, if you sent it in, it did not get read. That does not mean it will not get read on a future episode. Keep them coming. We love this stuff. This was why we started the show, because we want to hear your ghost stories. We also love covering the more well-known cases and diving into some smaller towns and stuff. But these are your hometown ghost stories. These are the ghost stories that the general public doesn't know about. Now, you know, with our reach, many people will. And also, if you have a story and you don't want it read out on the show, but you want to share your experience, you can do that with the community on Discord, or you can send it privately to us if you just want to get our take on it. And
Has happened. We've done quite a few of those time, as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Also, you can keep your name off it. If you say, I want to share my story, you can read it out on the show, but I would like to remain anonymous. I think this is our first episode that we didn't have at least one or two anonymous stories in here. So true. Just keep them coming, man. We love these, and we'd love to do these type of episodes more often. And everybody seems to enjoy them. So keep them coming. Absolutely.
Yeah, and May is going to be a big month for us coming up. We are kicking back off our regular episodes again on Tuesday, and we have a big guest coming on Tuesday. We have Jim Harold coming on the show next Tuesday, which is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be at Pennhurst this month, which I believe is the 17th and 18th or 18th and 19th. So if you're in the area, come see us, come hang out. If you haven't bought merch yet, I would suggest you do it before we go there, because we are bringing all of our merch there, and we sell more than we ever anticipate selling when we go. So if you're looking to get some of our merch, go to hometownghoststories.com right now and do it. And the plan, the goal, I'm not going to make promises, but we are going to try to release our Hinsdale stuff this month. So I am very excited. If you're on the Patreon, I've already dropped a walkthrough of the house. We're going to be dropping some more special stuff, including a couple of bloopers from the episode, which were, you know, pretty fun over there on Patreon. So make sure you're checking out for that stuff, too.
Absolutely. So should be a lot of fun. Our return to Pennhurst. We did an episode last time we were there. Let's see what we can do with any sort of investigation stuff. That would be a lot of fun. But it is a busy, 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 busy convention. Last one was a massive turnout. So yeah, even if you're not just coming to see us, there's a ton of celebrities in the paranormal community that'll be there. Awesome. And it is such an insanely awesome location. I mean, it's a tragic location. It's actually one of the saddest. I got so sad just writing that episode. I'm like, this place sucks, bro. But it's widely regarded as probably one of the most haunted places in America. I know we say that a lot. I know a lot of places throw it out, but most experts will say, oh, Pennhurst is it. Pennhurst is the number one most haunted location on the planet. Never mind just America. So it's a place, if you haven't visited yet, you got to see it. It's so massive and so dark and heavy, and you pull in, it's like pulling into a haunted attraction. You're like, wow, this is creepy as shit. It is a horrifying location with a tragic, twisted history. Highly recommend that you, even if it's not for the convention, visit Pennhurst at some point. This place,
yeah, if you have the opportunity, definitely take it.
Place is incredible. So
here's the perfect opportunity, because you can come experience it with us.
Absolutely.
All of us.
Yes, indeed. Let's thank our patrons real quick. So let's start off with our VIPs. We have Tess, Dave D, Kate and Steve M, Blazora, Glitter, Tease, Cammy from Washington, Siobhan, Not Sharon, Kelly C, Jennifer P, Nick, Donnie N, Inspires Gaming, Allison V, Robert H, Anna Lou C, J9, Demon King, Mom and Pops W, Lisa J, and Pepe Sylvia. Thank you so much for being members of the VIPs. Next up, let's hop into the Warren's Wards. And we'll kick that off with Michelle, Team Rob. And thanks again for that story, Michelle.
Thank you.
Rachel G, Her Lady Spookship, Nefarious Chadpoles, Wahini Pirate. Before I even continue with this list, not that I have a bad name next time, I will now give out a disclaimer that if you have children listening to this episode, I have no control over what these names are. And due to me getting my life threatened last week, I'm going to read every name, no matter what they say.
No, don't set that precedent. Let's have a little bit of respect when you guys put these names in. I mean, just a little. That's all we're asking for.
You don't have to respect us, but respect the listeners.
Respect the listeners.
Ron Burgundy, and I'm going to read through this teleprompter right now. I am the Bridge Witch, and I hate Rob. Julie Gooley, Eugene M., Arcade Hunters, Kath Q., Liz Young, DC, Chris Connolly, LBPS Founder, Next, HTGS Guest, The Other, Rachel B., Sarah Cook, Stitch Kitten, Ambi Rose, Janice G., Lily, Rachel B., The Green Ghost is so strong, handsome, and brave. Sydney, Not a Demon Doll, B., Papa Squatch, No Goose Flesh, Just Fist, or Goosebumps, Steph A., T-Bone, Snake Strangler, and Loving It. Thank you for being part of the Warren's Wards. Next up, we're going to hop into the ever-so-entertaining Ghost Pirate Mafia. Hashtag Dave, please kill Rob.
Starting off strong.
Everybody, get your phones away from your yourself. And hey, Siri, set a reminder on Rob's calendar that he's my favorite and Dave is not. It never fails. It never fails. Every single time. Miss Macabre. OSHA approved Bridges of Mordor. That's a big reference to last week's episode. Love that. Naroku, Cold Warrior, Joey B, insert old episode reference here. D from H-Town, I'll take mercy on Jesse Meta A.
Hey, not bad.
Right there. Yep, thank you for showing mercy. Sarah B. I never struggled with that at all. I nailed it every single time. You really... Dominica, sorry about the name change. Oh, sorry about the name, Jesse. Couldn't help myself. Monster Mom 04, Ali Dark Snark, and the newest updated name that I earned last week. I'll own this. The first ever, I hate Jesse. I should have queued up some sad music that I could play right now. I should have done that. Megan S., Morgan S., Captain McTuggly Wuggly, Smuggly Huggly, Thuggly Dugly. I enjoyed every second of that. Sharon V., Marie R., Wayne C., think what those poor ghosts saw with teenage Rob. Crystal Quinn, Aaron A., Colby has rejoined the group. Welcome back, Colby. Rob Coakley's allegedly poorly ketchup, jizz bukkakeed, french fry, jerk up party. Alicia E., sad boy Freddy, allegedly poorly watching the Bruins get the ugly wuggly, spoogly wooglies, and choke in game 5. I had this game playing and I didn't even see the results. That makes me sad. That makes me think that they lost the game. There goes my $5 on DraftKings. Who should sponsor their show? I feel like everyone has DraftKings sponsor their show, but we don't have that.
Except us.
Weird. Yeah, yeeted Jersey Devil caught by Graveyard Shadow Man. Which is the bridge witch that works at Ditch Witch?
Nice.
Sam from Nepal, Joe R. Paul from St. Louis, Al Capone, Carla sends her regards. Huggy Bear, Brennan, the ugly wuggly expert on all things Jeff. Solar Flare, Mariah M., Kira Lee J., Anthony, I'm either Team Dave or Team Jesse. I don't care. Either way, y'all work it out. T, Cody G., Brandon W., Hoopley Whoopley, Bridge Witch, and Dolphin Noise. That was a hungry dolphin. They malnourished. I gotta work on my dolphin noises. I do speak dolphin. That is true. Oh, but good. I just said Rob sucks in dolphin. If for people that were wondering what that translates to, that's what it was. Do we have some? So I tried to get the Spotify reviews, but the Spotify for Podcasters website is currently completely bugged and I can't look at anything. Beautiful. So can't look at those, but continue to leave your comments on Spotify. We will read them when the website allows us to.
Well, we do have one on Apple from the Green Fairy titled Legit Review. And guys, we have to have discussions about making it sound like something's legit or not. Like when you do this is a legit review. It makes people think it's not a legit review, right? But it is a legit review.
I'm going to predict that this is going to be a compliment for Rob, which means it is not a legitimate review. But Green Fairy is a very active member in the Spotify comments, actually. So
yeah,
tis a real account.
My fave podcast.
Even if you paid them.
Yes. My favorite podcast of all. These dudes are genuine, entertaining, funny, and sweet. Their chemistry is great, content interesting, and yes, scary, spooky, and creeps me out. These guys would be terrific to hang out with, have some refreshments, and just listen to them tell stories, which is why it's great they have a podcast so we can all do that whenever we want. Like author Tom Robbins once said about a cigarette, these guys are a friend when no one else is around. Adore y'all, and long may you run. Lyric borrowed from a classic rock song. Peace out.
That hyped me up. I don't smoke cigarettes, but I'd smoke one right now in front of everyone.
I believe that was a Neil Young reference at the end there.
It was a cigarette reference, Dave.
Yeah.
No, keep the last.
I'm kidding.
literal Dave Striggs again.
It was a classic rock lyric. I was naming it.
Yeah, thanks. That's all we have for reviews this week, though, since all the other sites are bugged. But make sure you leave your 5-star review. And again, next week, Jim Harold on the show, which is going to be a lot of fun to have him over talking about some spooky things.
Yes, indeed. But as always, we will be dropping something on Friday. What do we have coming out this Friday?
Movie review for the main people of...
Is it Night Swim.
Night Swim. That's what it's called. I've already forgotten the entire movie. Spoiler alert.
It was a movie, and if you choose to watch it, you may watch it if you want to. We will be spoiling that movie as we do for all of them, so if you want to stay up to date, you can watch that movie.
You can. You could. If you,
you could do it. You can do that if you want.
You hate yourself.
I wonder how that review is going to go. All right. Thank you guys so much. Again, thank you so much to everybody who sent in a ghost story and everybody who hangs out in live chat every single week. You guys are awesome, and we wouldn't still be doing the show if it wasn't for all of you who listen and watch and join in as well. Thank you so much, and we will talk to you guys next time. Goodbye. We love every single one of you. Bye.